I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, everybody. It's the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365. Happy Friday to you, good listener. My name's Marcus Speller and Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
Luke Moore is here.
They might be a bad listener. They might, you just don't know.
Ignore them. We won't even acknowledge them.
We can't stop them.
No, okay. All
if
right.
You've come this far on the journey.
You're welcome.
That's right. And Pete Donaldson.
Hello.
You're having a chew, Peter.
I'm having a chew.
Well, chew on this.
Got a lolly.
Manchester City versus Leicester City. It's a top of the table clash. Mm. Oh, my goodness. Jamie Vardy, will he be having a party?
He's always having a party.
I did like the Will Ferrell thing recently when he said it sounds like a man slightly aroused. Jamie Vardy having a party.
I got quite annoyed by people over-analysing the defending for his goal against Liverpool.
Enjoy it. Ignore it.
Yeah.
Ignore it and enjoy it.
Yeah. Can I not do a little bit? It was dreadful.
Yeah, but the thing is...
they just opened the door and went, have a crack.
Right, you're going
to...
Well, to be fair, the defender thought to himself... Am I an enemy of football?
Yeah.
No, I'm not. Have a go. Everybody's happy apart
sorry, Mark,
from...
Pete is rhetorically poking me with a stick there.
Yeah, I am.
And I'm going to respond. Initially, the defending was bad in terms of the space that was afforded to him, but there's absolutely no chance. Any defender in the land would have been like, if he's going to have a go from there, my job's done.
Stick your head on it. Get in the way, stick your head on it.
What, on his foot?
Yeah, if you stick your head on it, you're going into the net with the ball.
It was a beautiful hit. It's a beautiful goal.
It's the kind of thing where the defender looks at Vardy winding up one and he just turns around and goes to the keeper, shooting!
Yeah, exactly.
I told you he was shooting.
Let him have it.
Yeah.
Let him have it. It's a great goal.
The joy on Vardy's face. Yeah. Even at the final whistle, just clearly, I think with Danny Simpson remembering the moment, which was just pure unadulterated joy.
It's great for a Premier League, or for, I guess for a professional footballer, because those goals you score, they're going to live on in forever. You're going to show your grandkids them. Yeah, for the amateur players among us who occasionally score a goal, you're never going to be able to show anyone. Yeah.
It's a great show because like, I reckon I've got a wide enough repertoire for a DVD series.
It's a thing that took a moment that becomes part of like a body of work.
Yeah.
It's great.
That's right. But it is good, as you say, Luke. There's so many cameras at the game and all the rest of it. I remember... Chick Charney playing for Hibs once, old Chico. Apparently he scored from about 50 yards out in a cup game. Not a camera at the game.
Hibernian!
There's talk of
Alan Hansen scoring an amazing goal for Liverpool at Anfield, where he did a couple of 1-2s up the pitch, marauded on and struck one in the bottom corner, and again, not a camera in sight.
Well, and Robin Friday for Reading.
But Liverpool.
Yeah, well, fair.
Hansen's here at Liverpool.
Yeah, right.
You understand what I mean? Yeah.
Dare I chip in saying I once scored a similar goal at Sunday League?
No.
Well, you've done it now.
Yeah. Nobody filmed it, though.
You didn't say it with enough enthusiasm.
No, it was. It was better because it was preceded by me going, you know where the keeper's going to kick it? And I was shouting at everyone, and then I'd just show them how it was done.
It's like when Rooney got annoyed with the referee and just levered that ball in. It was like that.
Yeah. Against Newcastle.
Exactly like that.
Pete, to clarify, though, you cannot include goals scored in dreams. So.
Yeah, so do you all have dream goals? My mate Coop was sort of talking about, and your mate Luke as well.
I'm living mine now.
When he wants to go to sleep, he always thinks about the dream goal he would score, and it's really technical. He stops in front of the keeper, does like a round the world rainbow flick, and then heads it in or something like that.
Who does this?
Called David Cooper.
Actually, Dave Cooper, interestingly. In Dennis Bergkamp's book, he talks about how he never scored his perfect goal. He had one in mind.
Shut up, Dennis. That's lovely.
Yeah, but it's very hard to have sympathy for him, though, isn't it?
Yeah. What was it?
He must have got close.
What about the one against Argentina
in 98? Well, that was part of it.
No, but it was he had specific moves he wanted to do. It was a lot of flicks overheads and all that kind of stuff. And I'd love that. I wonder how common that is.
Was it the one Matt Letizia scored? Again, against Newcastle, I think it was.
Greedy Dutchman.
Yeah, Newcastle are generous like that.
Yeah, Tim Flowers used to have a couple of pearlers past him. He scored a couple.
Poor old Timmy. Poor old Timmy. So we think of Leicester win.
You know, they certainly just look absolutely unstoppable.
Does this fixture suit them, Jim? Because against Liverpool at home, they are the better side currently. They've won that game very well. It's away to Manchester City. The pressure's off Leicester in a sense. So can they?
I don't think the pressure's off them.
Yeah, I was okay.
They're three points ahead of them in the race for the title. I mean, the pressure couldn't really be any more.
They're now very much seen as being in that title race. The next two games have been pinpointed as, you know, another test of their credentials, which must be like the 50th test of their credentials all season. Well, yeah, exactly.
They're not going to win the title by beating Manchester City. It's if they get beaten, they can recover quickly enough because they've got a hell of a run of games after that.
Well, it's quite tight at the top this season, so. A win like that does make a big difference.
Man City are big favourites for the game. I mean, they're 11 to 20, so £10 on that returns you £15.50. They are big favourites for the game. Leicester at a much bigger price at 19 to 4. Mm. And I don't think that's... I mean, the couple of points I would make about the game looking ahead to it is just that... And I'm going to stop short of making predictions because this season is ridiculous. I think...
Literally our job.
When Leicester played Man City the first time around, they adapted. They moved to one up front, I think. They got a 0-0 and they showed that they're adaptable.
Yeah.
And we've talked about this before. And Jim, I remember mentioning it fairly recently about how they've changed up how they play and they've found different ways to win. The other thing is Man City are undoubtedly a team that can be got at.
Oh yeah.
And Leicester are very well equipped to get at them. If you look at the results like when they lost to Arsenal, they lost pretty handily to Stoke not that long ago as well. Yeah. So I mean, Leicester have definitely got the tools in the toolbox to fix that particular flat pack.
And some of the interplay between the front three or four players, for Leicester, has been wonderful.
It genuinely was like watching Barcelona at times against Liverpool. It was beautiful.
And that's not their game.
No, absolutely not. But City, you know, we've talked a lot about their quite frail defence at times this season, but they've kept three clean sheets in the last four games, so they have started to
Sunderland
sort that
should
out.
Have scored. Sunderland should have got a point against them.
That is very much part of it, yes. Yeah,
they
Sunderland
really should have
wasteful.
Done. And Leicester will look at that. Now, I know that was away, and at home, obviously, can be a little bit different, but look at the way Liverpool got at them as well. Leicester like to play, not the gegenpress, but they do like to hurry the opposition at times. And I think that's why Leicester... It will be very interesting to see how they line up for this one, because do they go for a more conservative approach like they did at home around the Christmas period when they got a 0-0 draw? Or do they think to themselves, should we stick or twist it? Because actually, if we go at them, they look bad at the back. They look a little bit soft at the core. Company is such a big miss for them. Mm. But they do have players that can hurt any team in the world. Aguero being the main man, obviously.
That midfield battle's key as well. If Toure's not up for it, they might have an enjoyable afternoon.
So they get at Man City for the first 80 minutes, see where they are, and then defend for the last 10.
Well, Toure's already... put his preemptive strike out through his agent that he's not going to play under Guardiola. And I'm sure Guardiola was like, well...
It's really
wasn't going to pick you anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like saying you can't fire me, I quit. But the football equivalent. And the 0-0 beforehand, the last time they played, I mean, that was a really interesting one because I was saying that Leicester changed up how they played. But interestingly enough, I thought that was a missed opportunity for Leicester, just because Company didn't play in that game either. Mm. And that's clearly the area of vulnerability.
But that's the question, isn't it, Leicester have? A point away to Manchester City wouldn't be a bad result because you've stopped Manchester City from winning.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But if they won that game, and Ranieri will have an enormous decision to make there. He will look at his tactics board and think, how do we go about this game?
Yeah.
Because... you know, if they lose, the Manchester City have pegged them back there. They're still in it. You know, it's not like they're 3-4 points off the pace. They are the pace, for crying out loud. So that is the fascinating one for me. And it is the game of the week. And it's crazy, isn't it? Manchester City versus Leicester is the game of the weekend when Chelsea played Manchester United on the same weekend.
Yeah. That's sort of gone unnoticed, really.
It has. It's still a big one, of course.
Neither of those teams are really going to do anything in the league now. So, I mean, people are rightly focusing their attention on the game we've just talked about. But, I mean, that Man United game is an interesting game. There's no question about that, because Chelsea's form has been so much better under Gus Hiddink, and because Man United basically threw the shackles off last time out.
Mm. When Gus Hiddink leaves come the summer, will Gary Neville get the job?
Good God.
I wasn't expecting that.
Because I think he'll be available.
Yeah, Gary Neville.
I mean, he could probably take over in a couple of weeks.
There's a lot of stuff that I feel a bit sorry for Gary because obviously he's an ambitious man and he wants to go and achieve things, and I think he should be credited for that. But there's a lot of stuff doing the rounds online about things he said about his team getting beaten 7-0. Yeah, with my team, we're beaten 7-0 by Barcelona.
I don't think that's a real quote, though.
I think it's a quote from a Champions League punditry where he said, you see teams going to Barcelona and fine if they get beaten, but getting beaten 5-6, 7-0, you'd have to have a look at yourself.
That's the problem. Yeah. When you've got that job where you have to create those sound bites, when you've got to create those definite.
Imagine us managing a team.
I know, can you imagine?
That would be brilliant.
Yeah. It wouldn't be brilliant. It would be brilliant for everyone else.
Well, I'd probably play manage because I'm wicked at volley. So,
yeah.
I'll just deal with the media. Well, should he have signed a Scotsman? Should Gary Neville have signed a Scotsman? Because Marseille.
Where were you going with this, Marcus?
Marseille seemed to think so.
What the hell's that about?
He was up all night trying to work out how to link this in.
Yeah. Yeah.
and finally, a Scottish star.
Unfortunately, nobody has noticed. Well, I did get Hibbs mentioned in earlier, so it was a bit of Scottish stuff there. The Marseille, this was brilliant. From the week of football, Marseille loaned or got a loan signing in one Stephen Fletcher, which is brilliant in itself. But Marseille said, he will not leave you unmoved.
That's interesting.
I love the quote.
Yeah.
The quote's amazing.
He will not go unnoticed. Again, is that...
I mean, I would argue it's actually, in the case of Stephen Fletcher, it's quite the opposite.
Yeah. Marseille has added a Scotsman to the mix.
It's as if they've sort of got some sort of Babelfish translation of like the speech from Braveheart.
And translate it back again.
Yeah. And if you know anything about the mentality of that people, you'll know that's good news.
That people.
Love it. Yeah, so maybe every team needs a Scotsman.
I like what Santiago Canizares, a Valencia legend, ex-goalkeeper, of course, said about Gary Neville. Sticking the boot in. He said, I expected the coach's resignation as well as some apologies. I may be ignorant, but I'm surprised he hasn't. I thought he was honest.
He said before dropping aftershave on his foot.
Yeah.
I don't think Neville's lying,
missing a major
tournament.
I don't
think Neville's lying. But dragging it all the way back to Chelsea versus Manchester United, are Chelsea safe from relegation? Currently,
they certainly are.
I mean, they're not, are they? Literally, yeah, I mean, they're not.
That's why I'm asking the question, Jim.
But the results have picked. I mean, they're 8 points off it, so I mean, they're not technically safe. Oi, but I think they're looking up. Aren't
would you
they?
Describe this as two former heavyweights?
I'd like to personally distance myself.
Yeah. Well, I'm asking you, and if you say no,
you're certainly goading Twitter this week.
Yeah. We'll come to Arsenal in a minute, Jim. but it should be a good one, though. I mean, the two Dutch masterminds of Hiddink and Van Gaal coming up against each other is always interesting.
It's really interesting to see how Man United play midweek, wasn't it? I mean, a lot of people were predicting
much better.
Another snorefest, but they moved the ball nicely. That goal for the Martial goal was absolutely fantastic.
It was. What a goal. I mean, to be honest, some people thought that Martial goal was better than the Vardy one.
I can see why you would say that. I think, you know...
There's more to do.
Yeah, absolutely, there was more to do. And there's a nice build-up and all that other stuff.
Do you not think Rooney's he's looking more lively? And it's looking good because he's just improving his performance just in time for the summer. He'll be there.
I mean, do you really gift Rooney with foresight? Is he really that intelligent? Or he's just going, I'll work a bit harder now and then I'll get be in position where... He's playing whatever. He's going to play in the Euros whatever.
He knows that, doesn't he? He's got a football intelligent, bruv.
To be fair, he's been playing a lot better and he looked more lively. Yeah. At the start of the season...
He's doing what he should be doing.
Yeah, basically.
Oh, okay.
He's in good form and deserves credit for that.
Thank you, Jim.
No.
Well, that's a bit like saying...
Not on them wages.
Oh, Juventus, what, they won 13 straight league games? Oh, brilliant. You know,
Rooney is not winning 13 straight league games.
His performance has improved and he's scoring
because
some good
goals. Because he was an absolute dog pops
at
the start.
Yeah, if you're going to do that, you have to at least pipe up when he's doing terribly.
Which we did.
Not one of our favourite things to do.
Not enough.
We'll go back in time and correct it then.
I don't rate him.
Right, fine.
His legs have gone. His head's gone. Everything's gone.
That's a difference.
His egg went and then it came back again.
It's coming back.
How big's his telly?
Well, but he, you know, he did score. Borthwick Jackson played well too.
Just like Sanit, don't you?
Why do you like his name?
I just think it's funny.
Yeah. Oh, he's got me Borthwick Jackson.
if you had to choose one, would you go with Borthwick or Jackson?
I think there's an increased number of double-barreled surnames in football now because genuinely, it's a serious point. Couples don't marry as much now, right? So they have a lot more children.
Or they combine their names.
Yeah, and they combine. I think it's the former though. I think the child takes on both names. That's what you see a lot of them. There are a lot of them now.
What I would say is it doesn't give the child the option later.
No.
I mean, if Borthwick Jackson and, say, Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain got together.
And Ruben Loftus-Cheek.
All three of them.
Borthwick Jackson, Oxlade-Chamberlain, Loftus-Cheek.
Yeah.
it's an unusual relationship.
It's still shorter than Vinegar of Hesselink.
Are you allowed, when you hit about 18, you're allowed to declare for either? Declare for Bothwick.
I'm Bothwick now.
Declaring for the Oxlades.
I'm declaring for the Oxlades.
Yeah, righty ho. Well, we're going to talk about Arsenal and we're going to talk about Crystal Palace as well after this.
Hi, I'm Frank Leboeuf. You're listening to the Football Ramble. Football Ramble.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Bournemouth versus Arsenal. Oh, Jim, you know that Benik Afobe will score against his old club, won't he? That is written in the stars.
Yeah, it's just one of those things.
As a realistic Arsenal fan, you know that will happen.
I think every club feels like that happens. Mm. And to Arsenal, it often does. What I also fear is an Adam Smith screamer.
Yeah.
I really like Adam Smith. I think he's a very good right back. And he's scored a few crackers this season. He's got them in his locker. And another thing the Emirates is good for is a sort of long-distance sucker punch.
So, true, but it's at Bournemouth, though.
That's a very good point. Another thing Arsenal were good for is a long distance sucker punch,
which would work. Obviously, Arsenal played another South Coast side recently, Southampton. Mm. Ronald Koeman reportedly stuck up for the match officials after the match. Apparently, Wenger was moaning to referee Lee Mason, saying, "It's always the same with you." To which Koeman came quite brilliantly and said, "Well, it's always the same with you. You had 10 chances to score and you couldn't take any of them. So why ever go at them?" if that's true.
Not an unfair point. It sounds apocryphal, doesn't it? But
I think that's funny, yeah.
I think that's funny.
It's interesting that Bournemouth are clearly the form team going into this game, and they're the home team as well.
Yeah.
Bet365 have Arsenal at even. So £10 back.
Arsenal were 4 Premier League games without a win, and you would think they'd stop that run.
Bournemouth are free scoring as well. They've got six goals in the last three games.
There's no slight on Bournemouth. They're in excellent form. They really, really have stepped up to the level now, haven't they? They really look like they belong in the Premier League, which for the first couple of months they didn't.
So what do you think? What do you think is Arsenal's problem recently?
I think there's maybe a bit of fatigue in there. The midfield of Flamini and Ramsey hasn't gelled in the way that sort of previous midfield iterations this season have. But there are players coming back now. Coquelin's back. Elneny's obviously in the squad now. I'd quite like to see Elneny and Coquelin in there just to actually really shore it up and make it quite tough and sort of like give Ozil that free reign.
Oh, they're like that's new signings, aren't they, Jim?
Elneny is. Yeah, Elneny is a new signing.
Serious problem here. If Arsenal get beaten by Bournemouth at the weekend, of course, it's a big if. I mean, they could be 8 points off the top.
Yeah.
And given the position they're in a few short weeks ago, that's a huge blow. Absolutely. A massive blow.
So the way Arsenal have been dropping points, they could draw the game. You know, they've been just a bit...
you'll be pleased to know...
reticent. They've seemed to play within themselves a bit lately. And it seems like Arsenal sometimes, they get to a point where they're out in front, they get a bit of a nosebleed, and the fear starts to creep in. There's sort of this doubt that kind of limits the players, and it makes them a bit less ruthless.
You will be pleased to know that Fraser Forster doesn't play for Bournemouth.
No, yeah. God, he was absolutely magnificent.
He was fantastic.
It was a great night for England goalkeepers.
Butland,
not so much, but he's been great this season.
I think Arsenal, I know they haven't won in their last four, but I think their problems go back a bit further than that. I mean, they were beaten fairly heavily on Boxing Day.
Yeah.
And they narrowly got one against Man City. I think there's been a bit of the after the Lord's Mayor show after the Man City game, because they were so pleased to win that game, and rightly so. Mm. Then they were hammered by Southampton. Mm. Then they got a win after that over Bournemouth, who they play obviously at the weekend. They were unimpressive against Newcastle. They could have lost that game. They won it 1-0. I was at the game. They weren't very good. Yep. I would say Newcastle were the better team. Mm. And then since then, they've not won a game. So they've been very, very in different form at key times.
Well, there are players, individual players, that need to be playing better, because Szczęsny's been making a sort of uncharacteristic amount of mistakes. Theo Walcott as well is seemingly cannot play his way back into form. He's a patchy player at the best of times. Oxlade-Chamberlain is another one who's not having any impact when he comes on and not contributing enough when he's starting. There are too many individuals there that aren't playing well enough.
How many times have you said this, do you reckon, in the last 8 years of the football?
To be honest, mate, I wasn't even concentrating on what I was saying then. I was thinking about what I'm going to have for dinner.
Jim's not been live for about 3 seasons.
when it comes to Arsenal, replace it with a soundboard, he can go and get a beer.
I mean, Arsenal, obviously, they've got you know, some interesting youth players coming through and all the rest of it. But we know that there's maybe a bit of a power shift here because the South Coast is is where the real footballing talent is. We've seen it with Bournemouth. We've seen it with Southampton. Not so much with Portsmouth of late, but Portsmouth were involved in a wonderful footballing moment.
Was it wonderful?
Yes. Of course it was. A goalkeeper scored a goal.
Portsmouth went from mixing it handily with the Premier League team to 3 days later conceding to Morecambe's goalkeeper in the 93rd minute.
and you've got a real problem with people like teams switching off, haven't you, at the end of the match?
Yeah.
That's kind of what happened, isn't it? Yeah. Really?
That's what football do to
That's
you.
What football do, yeah.
Barry Roche, the Morecambe goalkeeper, he said, I love this, because he scored and there was an almighty celebration, of course. He said, I didn't have a clue how to celebrate. I thought about doing a Klinsmann, but the pitch was too dry. I love it. He thought about it. And thought, yeah. Oh, no.
Not having that.
So there was a bit of rational thought going on in there. I jumped and there was the pylon of all pylons. That is something that anybody would love to be a part of. I couldn't breathe, so I had to throw a few off me. Get off!
Can I just say that Barry has let the cat out of the bag there, because that's the reason Portsmouth didn't win more handily, because it was at Morecambe. They didn't water the pitch because Pompey play lovely stuff.
Yeah.
They want to stifle us. Well, and it's worked. And can I just say, it's a really big...
Hang on, so their game plan was bring the keeper up for the last minute and nick a draw. What a game plan. What a game worked, didn't
it? Yeah, exactly. Executed to perfection. Can I just say, it's a huge moment, a huge time at the moment for goalkeepers called Barry.
Yep.
Because the Wickham goalkeeper who came on...
Boubacar Barry?
Yeah, he's another one.
Oh, no, that was...
The Wickham goalkeeper, I think, was called Barry Richardson, wasn't he? So it's huge... Barry's in football. Goalkeeping Barry's in football.
Well, there's two.
You said Boubacar Barry. That's another one.
Yeah, it's still an unusually high, period of success for goalkeepers called Barry.
All right, fair enough.
It's notable.
Gareth Barry. Has he ever been in the sticks?
Barry Hales.
Barry Town. Pete, you got anything on Barry?
Barry Messi.
I've got
Barry Glendening from that rubbish football podcast.
I mean, that
never heard of it.
That Italian team, Bari. I mean, it's nearly Barry. Whole team of them.
Yeah.
Franco Barriese.
That's brilliant. There must be more.
David Platt played for Bari. People forget that.
Yeah,
it's his first Italian club. So
Do people forget that?
I don't think people knew it. Mm. Shall we move on to Swansea versus Crystal Palace?
Yes,
Pete.
Barry Neville.
Alan Pardew.
Crystal Barris.
Barry Pardew.
Barry.
Barry Pardew.
Not for me, Barry.
Crystal Barry. How do you think they'll get on?
They won't be Barry McWinnin. Tortured.
I enjoyed it.
Right, let's leave it there.
Yeah.
Alan Pardew said about referees recently, you've got to commit murder to get sent off against Palace. No one gets sent off against us.
Offensive, isn't it? You think he would have learned his lesson when it comes to talking about football in relation to violent crime?
Has someone just told him that he's not going to get the England job? Whatever happens after the summer.
Martin O'Neill goes, sorry, murder? What?
This is no pun out.
Yeah.
O'Neill's on the case. Yeah. Yeah, to be honest, I mean, the Pardew slide is something I know Pete's enjoying, but...
I'm not enjoying. It's just indicative of his management style. He can't arrest a slide.
All right. However you want to frame it.
He's a peacetime PM.
We're about two-thirds into the season. It's all going awry. If anything, that makes him an absolutely perfect England candidate.
do you think in the nightclub Crystals, they've got like a bit of a playpen with Pardew slide?
Yeah, I was about to say that.
And you kind of go down into a sort of pit of vodka and women.
Like a policeman in a playground, he can't arrest a slide.
Yeah, exactly.
Deary me. Emmanuel Adebayor. He's a Crystal Palace player now. Of course, he came on. Could get some more minutes under his belt.
Emmanuel Adebayor. It works.
Let's not.
Pardew has been impressed by his fitness, considering he hasn't played a proper match since last season. That is actually quite something. He's kept himself in very good shape. And he said, when he was in Africa, it's quite easy to have a game. He said, I just tell some of my friends and say, listen, I need to play football this afternoon. And a game was arranged. I like how he said, it was a proper game with proper players in Togo who are like professionals.
Right.
Yeah.
I think he's made a good percentage of that story up.
Well,
don't you?
No, but I think he's done really well to keep his fitness at a respectable level.
He's got to get through a medical. Yeah, you wouldn't sign him if he was a big fat pig, would you?
No, I'm just saying, though, that he came on and he's not long signed for the club. He hasn't played since something like May.
Why are you defending him?
I'm not defending him. I'm saying
he's
that
he's still
done
under
well.
Contract. Technically, he should be. Well, Crystal Palace at any point.
I'm hoping Swansea don't defend him because they need a win. Swansea, the form team going to this one as well.
Yeah, they are.
Talking of Swansea, I think probably my favourite misguided pursuit of the transfer window was Sunderland repeatedly trying to sign Andre Ayew. Why did they dedicate so much time? For that, it's like, do you want to sell us your best player?
No.
Come on, Andre, do you want to come to us? We're below you in the league, we're not actually that good, but come on.
I reckon
you're all right.
They called and went, do you want to sell us your best player? No. How about now? No. How about now? How about now? How about now? Until
we'll
the transfer
put stories in the press.
Oh, your best player's been slagging you off.
called you a right idiot. But I just wanted to make a quick point that Swansea are the form team going into this game, and they're at home, and they're 5-4 to win this game. So £10 that with Bet365 gets you £22.50 back. I actually think that's a good bet.
It is a good bet.
Because Palace cannot buy a win at the moment.
They can't. No. Five losses on the bounce, at least.
Which is a good thing. I think we all agree.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Sorry, Palace fans.
Not at all.
We're actually quite.
You don't sound that sorry.
I mean, it's good that you can't pay to win a football match.
Oh, right. Okay,
careful.
That is true.
Can't buy a win.
Before we go to the emails, should we have the bet of the week, Luke?
Yes, we're going to go all the way back to the Etihad. I don't know if you guys listening remember at the top of the show, we talked about Manchester City versus Leicester.
All those minutes ago.
Top of the table clash. We have gone for our bet of the week with Bet365. Manchester City 1, Leicester 2. Which is 18-1. So a 2-1 at Leicester win at Man City, 18-1. £50 returns £950, so a £900 profit, with all monies, of course, going to Prostate Cancer UK. You must be over the age of 18 to bet, and please gamble responsibly. For more info on responsible gambling, head to... You can't remember it, can you?
I can remember it.
Gambleaware.co.uk.
I was going to make a little joke.
Go on, then.
My house.
Barry.co.uk. No, do head for more information on responsible gambling. Just to make it so absolutely clear, because it's a legal requirement. Head to gambleaware.co.uk.
Gambleaware.co.uk. Without Max's laughter.
And stay away from Pete's house in all circumstances.
You've got the footballramble.com if you want.
Yeah, you could
do
that.
But that's not for the gamble.
Pete, give
business.
Us an email.
Oh, we got a few emails, guys. Ewan Raw, who is a long-suffering Coventry City fan. He's taken some, kind of artistic license with some of these names. But on last week's show, you mentioned that Funes Mori means the cords of the death in Latin. Mm-hmm. I have compiled some other notable translations of famous footballers. Some of these you may have heard, some of them you might not have.
You're wasting your life.
Pep Guardiola, Joe Piggy, he says, but I think it might be Piggy Bank.
Yeah, okay.
Joe Piggy Bank.
I don't know.
We got Jordi Alba, George Dawn. Which is quite good.
George Dawn's a good name. It sounds like a detective.
Yeah. Lee Chung Young is Lee Blue Dragon.
Oh, good.
Dennis Bergkamp. Dennis Mountainkamp.
He could be making these up, by the way.
No, I've
I can understand. I can. It's
Berg
not,
and then Kamp.
Yeah, it's not
come
a big stretch
on
to say that Berg stretch, could be Mountain in Dutch.
Daniel Van Buiten. Danny from the Outside.
Oh,
like
nice.
Jenny from the Block. Edwin van der Sar, Ed of the Tees.
Head of the Tees.
Yeah, we'll get loads of Dutch people complaining. That's incredibly...
The best one ever is Juan Mata, Johnny Death.
Yeah.
Or Johnny Kills.
Frank Moneybags.
Nice. What's Frank
the Bull? Frank the Farmer.
Frank the Farmer.
Frank the Farmer, Jim.
Schweinsteiger is Pig Climber,
isn't it? It is, yeah.
Willie Caballero, Penis Knight. He's taking the English Willy.
Yes, yeah.
He's taking the Willy thing out of thing. Yeah. But thank you, Ewan.
No, Caballero is like gentleman, isn't it?
Well, it is, yeah. But it would depend
nice,
on
gentleman.
The
okay. Well, penis gentleman is just as good, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very good.
Penis gentleman.
I've got some Facebook.
Penis
do you want to do those first?
Oh,
you
please.
Want, right, cool. Have you got more emails?
I've got loads of emails.
All right, have a couple of Facebooks just to mix it up a bit.
I've got them going on my penis gentlemen's.
Here we go.
Go on.
Right, this isn't their names, but they're all going to be called this for this particular section. Barry Haynes has been in touch.
Yeah,
He said he's called Ben Haynes, but Barry is short for Ben. He said, I've put £20 on Leicester to win the title, inevitably signalling their impending collapse.
Oh, no.
So he's an enemy of football. They are 9-2 to do so on Bet365, by the way, Leicester. Barry Burnett says, finding out that Barry Richardson, the Wickham goalkeeper, you guys are going to like this, is so old. This is the Wickham keeper that came on in the cup.
Yeah, 46. Yeah.
He's so old that in the first 66 games of his career, he was allowed to pick up back passes.
Oh, that is good.
That's
good,
isn't it?
That is very good.
That's good, isn't it? And I've got one more here from John Vather, Barry Vather. He says, hearing a man behind me at Brisbane Road describe Kevin Nolan's Leighton Orient team performance as an absolute pandemic of shit. I take it that was their home defeat to Cambridge United.
Good.
In which case, I would tend to agree.
Excellent. Let's have another email, Peter.
Definitely. Who have we got here? Right. Hi, lads.
Hello.
Hope you're all well. So I'll give the name, actually. It's on the next page, but it's kind of stuck together because I ate a lollipop. This is from Alex. Hello, Alex.
Hello,
hi,
Barry.
Lads. Hope you are all well. I am a big fan of the show and wanted to contribute something to the recent Kevin Keegan obsession. Recent. Someone hasn't been listening for a while.
Yeah.
Barry Keegan.
I heard quite a short yet spectacular story the other day. I'm in my second year at uni and live with four other lads. Three of them I met in the first year while the other lad moved in with us in October. And he refrained from telling us perhaps the finest, albeit brief, moment of his life until now. At a party a few years ago, it somehow came about that he ended up in a hot tub with none other than the real, actual Kevin Keegan.
Wow.
He must have got his shot
stuck
in it.
Was his toe stuck in the filter?
Yeah. Did he get out and fall down a lift shaft?
Did he get in the hot tub? Right. It was really cold.
Right. It's not happening.
Come on.
We're sorry.
Peter.
He's probably got an MBE. Come on. No respect.
He's probably got an MBE.
Go on, read it.
Upon what I can only presume was a semi-awkward encounter, my housemate asked Keegan what happened to his infamous mullet perm hair thing. Kev, sorry to... Kev... I'm not reading the rest of it.
Come on, read it.
With the punchline, if you keep interrupting, the punchline isn't going to mean anything.
Come on, carry on.
Kev, slowly taking a sip of it. I'm not doing it. I'm not. Right.
You haven't done anything this time.
I'm not reading it. I'll do it at the Newcastle live show.
You're an enemy
and then you'll get some.
For the record, right, don't. There's a story about Kevin Keegan. Don't ever worry about there not being a punchline.
I technically can't read it now because it's all torn up.
Yeah,
you can.
Sorry, Alex.
Sorry, Alex.
Yeah.
The bigger boy spoiled it for
come
you.
Come to the Newcastle live show, Alex, and we'll read it out.
I mean, Keegan is loved up there. You guys are going to be lynched.
Oi, there'll be Sunderland fans. They'll protect us.
Yeah, you're rude about Reedy as well.
No, you're rude about Reedy.
No, I'm not.
You called Sunderland a bunch of pit yakkers. So you're in pure bag of trouble.
That's literally their name.
Is it?
No.
Right, we've come to the end of the preview show. Sponsored by Bet365. Thank you very much for listening, everybody. If you want to get in touch, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com. The Twitter is @footballramble. The website is thefootballramble.com. We're on Instagram and Facebook as well.
Yes. And Snapchat. I'll look after that.
Yeah,
sometimes
nice
when
one.
There's a game on, I remember to film myself watching the game.
Okay.
Talking about the foreign streams that I watch.
Sell it into them.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Exactly.
Excellent.
You might catch a reflection off my screen.
Yeah.
Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye, Barry.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Sponsored by Barry 365.
Goodbye, Marcus.
Oh.
You guys really let everyone down.
We're all off to get punched at a layby.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.